Welcome to Intentional Living Center. Dr. Randy Carlson here. What a busy time of the year. Christmas, boy, did you have a great time with family. We did, and now approaching this year end. We'll talk about that in a moment. Some exciting things to share with you. I'll share with you in a few minutes from our Intentional Living Center. A while ago, we talked about boundaries and had so many calls. We wanted to continue on talking a little bit about what boundaries are. Are they biblical, not biblical? How do they work in marriages and Christian families, in relationships? How do they work with in-laws and so on in a way that honors Christ? And I have the what I call my formula, the ABCs. If you're having difficulty meshing with people that you love, people in your family, and you don't know how to handle this boundary issue, the ABCs of doing this. I'll get to that in just a moment. If you want to join in with a comment today when you hear something, you're welcome to call 888-888-1717 for our comment line. Okay, let's get to our first caller. Phyllis is on the line in Michigan. Phyllis, welcome to the program today.
Thank you, Dr. Carlson.
Appreciate it. What's your question?
Well, it's just trying to deal with family turmoil. We've had a lot of grief with a 16-year-old grandchild with my son's daughter. And my daughter has two children, and there's so much turmoil in that area also. Mm. The 16-year-old, my daughter doesn't appreciate how her brother raises his children. And so that has brought havoc and a lot of conflict. But
and you get sucked into it because you're mom.
Yeah, because I want to have my family together on the holidays. We don't get together on the holidays. We don't, you know, there's just nothing. It's just emptiness, I feel.
Yeah, I understand that. So they're at war with each other sort of over how they're doing their families.
Yes, yeah. And I have to respect that they can choose to raise their children their way. Both of them raised them differently, but I still feel it's important for us to get together as a family, but we don't. We just stay apart.
Yeah, it's important for you, but it's not important for them. Or
right.
It is, but they don't want the grief with it. So right. You're the one losing in this deal.
Yes,
everybody is, but ultimately you're the one feeling the pain because your children, the siblings aren't getting along.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know. I try to spend a day with my son, and then I go and spend a day with my daughter, but she's generally not even wanting to. She's had a lot of grief with her son, and it's brought a lot of heartache, especially this time of year. Her son's in the Marine Corps, and he's angry at her, and so he's just bringing so much strife and grief. I want to go to him and I want to tell him, why do you do this? Why are you behaving like this? You're angry with your mom, but he's in the Marine Corps. He needs to be settling this the turmoil or the anger that he's got with his mother. But because his mother is my daughter, he doesn't want to talk to me. And and it's just,
well, it sounds like you've got an angry family.
Very much so. It is so.
And I think we just got to look at it for what it is. Sometimes there's almost a culture within a family that things are built around a certain emotion, and it feels like the touch anger for your family is anger, and emotion rather is anger. And so when it builds up into the kind of like the garbage can, I call emotional ooze, when it gets to the top and you can't hold the can down any longer, it just oozes out with anger. Now, brother and sister aren't getting along, and now the grandson's not getting along with mom, your daughter, and there's anger. And mom Phyllis is a pleaser and wants to fix everything.
Well, that's what my daughter tells me. Mom, you got to quit fixing everything and just take care of yourself, because I have always been a caregiver. I took care of my mother for 8 years. I took care of my dad when he died of cancer. I took care of my brother. And now I feel lost because I have no one to take care of.
Can I suggest something that you quit?
Quit how?
You resign. You resign. Oh. I think you need to, if you want to be creative, send a resignation letter to your kids and saying, I love you guys, but I resign from trying to be the arbiter, the fixer, the controller, the counselor, the pastor, whatever it is.
And that's what I've done for the most part. But the 16-year-old granddaughter, I can't just drop and say, you're on your own. Go do whatever you got to do, because she's been in juvenile hall. She's been, she just had so much grief that she's brought on upon herself.
But how are you responsible for that?
Well, I can't walk away from her. I don't want to see her out in the streets. I'm scared to death she's going to run away. That's my biggest fear, is that she's going to get angry with everything going on in her life. And at 16, you know, they know better than anybody else. And by running away, that's going to fix her problem.
Well, I'm not suggesting that you resign from your love for your children, and certainly not for your grandchildren. I'm not suggesting you tell your grandchildren, I'm resigning. I'm telling, it sounds to me like your children got an issue.
Yes,
and you're trying to be the fixer. And I would encourage you, Phyllis, because you're not going to change your adult children.
Right, right. And I have pretty much turned and walked away from their conflict. I know they don't get along with each other in the same environment, so we don't have the family dinners or whatever at Christmas and the holidays.
Terrible.
But it's still a big emptiness in my heart.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then I would take that love that you have, and you got a lot of it, and you want to help people. There are people out there who will receive that. There are people in your community during this holiday season who need help. There are families and individuals and single moms and dads and other people. Well, why don't you just say, hey, I'm going to take some of this love and attention and concern, because God's made you a helper. He's made you a hand person, as I call it, a heart-hand person. You got a big heart, and you want to do things. My guess is you're a heart-hand person. You got a big heart, and you want to do things to help people.
Right.
And I would turn all of that love and attention maybe to people who care and want it. And there's people in your church and people in your community, and find some of the joy of serving people who will receive that attention. I think your daughter's giving you the best advice. Mom, you can't fix it. Just back off and pray for your kids. Does that make the hurt go away? No. But I think sometimes we get stuck emotionally, again, with an expectation that's never going to be met, or it won't be met now. And whenever we have an expectation that says, I can change my kids, or I can change my in-laws, or I can change my neighbor, or I can change my spouse, you're only setting yourself up for disappointment and defeat. And again, as I often say, we always have good intentions. That's how I judge myself. But we're always being judged on expectation, which whenever they're not met, creates disappointment always. Okay, Phyllis, appreciate it. I think you understand it. It's just a matter of grieving the loss. Boy, that hurts. Listen, there's something about December. We know that depression goes up in December. We know there's more conflict in December. And a lot of it has to do with the level of expectations we wrap around this season of the year, Christmas, New Year's, this whole time of year. We have a lot of expectations. I mean, all the Christmas music we played up until Christmas time, you heard, you know, I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas, and all these songs were filled with unrealistic expectations, frankly. Now, some of you did have a white Christmas, but maybe not so cheery on the inside of the home. And so being careful not to have expectations that are unreasonable. Okay, that's what we're talking about today. Love to have you join in with your thoughts. 888-888-1717.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media, and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
My name is Joshua, and I've constantly had to deal with people who are just emotionally draining. But I just have such a love for them that I could never say something about it. But even myself, you know, I myself have dealt with things like that, you know, my own issues, my own fault. And it's just my question for Dr. Carlson really be, how would I best, you know, disciple someone asking me about this? Like, how can I be less just emotionally, you know, broken down? How can I stop dragging people with me? Because I get this question a lot when helping with people around college age. And I just kind of like to know what I could do and what I could say to help.
Well, I am estranged with my mother for about 6.5 years now. And we had tried to rebuild relationship after having a rough go. She abandoned me when I was about 14.
Mm.
And I tried to rebuild that relationship and let her back in my life when I started having children. But it came to a point where I just had to say enough is enough. And I basically just sat down on her bed and I said, I love you. You're the mother that God gave me. And I will always love you for that. But I can't let you hurt me anymore. And this relationship is really damaging who I built myself up to be. And I can't do this. So my husband and I helped her get into her own place and get her stabilized in herself because she was living with us. And then she decided she was going to go live with my brother on the East Coast. And we're at that time, we were in Oregon. And so we helped her do that. And I've tried to keep the lines of communication open. And I've tried calling her, and I'll call on birthdays and holidays. And, you know, I have a family of my own that's very busy, so I probably don't call as often as I could. But when I do call, it's always, okay, well, talk to your brother, or here, talk to somebody else. And my son lives over there with my brother. He's trying to do some other things. And my brother's just in a better position to be a better mentor for him. And so, you know, here, talk to your son. And I'm like, okay, so I talk to her for 30 seconds and she pushes the conversation off to someone else.
Now, do you think that that's due to your conversation that she's hurting from feeling cut out of your life, or is that just your mom?
A little bit of both. She's always been a little bit estranged and distant from me, even when I was a child. We didn't have really a mother-daughter relationship. We didn't do things, you know, we didn't have the mushy-mushy relationship. If I was hurt, it wasn't coming to let me cuddle you. She had that relationship with my brother. I was the oldest, and I grew up to be tough.
Yeah. You know?
And so, and
well, what
I
kind of a relationship?
Okay with that.
What would you like as a relationship? Because on one hand, I hear you saying, "Mom, I can't let you hurt me any longer," and you put a boundary in place. And then I hear you saying, "I'm calling her, and I'm not really getting what I want, what I expect." And so, are you clear on the relationship you would like with your mom?
Well, I really have just left the lines open for her so that she knows that if she wants a relationship, that there is a boundary line there.
Yeah.
That you know, we can't cross that line where you are living in my home and, you know, you're welcome to come visit, but you have to go home. You know, you're welcome to be a part of my children's lives, but your input on how they are raised and how mm-hmm. we are doing on taking care of them and what we're teaching them. You weren't there to put that input into my life.
Yeah.
And so it's not welcome in there. You can be their grandmother. You are welcome to come and be that role in their life, but I'm going to put some clear boundaries on that.
Hello, my name is Autumn. I just wanted to comment on the intentional living subject about living with a difficult relationship. I have something similar with my mom as well. And I just wanted to point out that sometimes we don't realize that we're coming off that way, especially to people that we love and that we're comfortable with. And I would suggest being open with whoever is negative in your life and let them know what they're doing to you and how you're perceiving it. And you can't change them, but you can pray for them. And I hope that this insight is able to help someone. Just be able to talk about it and then pray about it.
Hi, Dr. Carlson. As a Christian adult who loves her parents dearly, I still feel, especially in my relationship with my mother, that there's still a parenting element going on with her towards me. And I am married with 3 children, yet I still feel at times that she still tries to parent me and still tries to guide me in decision-making, not so much just giving me advice, but really trying to steer me into a direction that may not be a right choice for me or may not be something I agree with. But as a Christian, and you want to honor your parents, and you know that they're speaking out of love, how do you set that boundary with your parents? To be able to say, I am an adult, I am a 33-year-old woman with 3 children, and I can make a decision, even if it is one they don't agree with or understand, how do you draw that line in that relationship respectfully and honoring them still as your parents?
Mm-hmm. That's a great It's a question we get a lot of, Stephanie, and there's a theme on that. How do we do this with honor and do it respectfully? I think a lot of it has to do with the quality of the relationship. If you have a really good relationship with mom and dad, and they're just really good parents that are just can't shut that off. Hello, there's many of us. I struggle with this. I'm a fixer. I mean, look at what I do every day on the radio. I'm a fixer. I'm here to help fix you, right? You know? And so I admit that that's a tendency that I have with my own kids, my adult children who are doing a great job, you know, with their own kids and their own lives here. So I see something, it's easy for them to say, hey, I have an idea, or hey, had you thought about this? It's easy to happen. But if you have a good relationship and it's bothering you, I would take the approach of just sitting down with them, not when it happens, but another time, and say, guys, listen, you know what? One thing you could do, mom and dad, that'd be really helpful to me would be just to give me a little space by not offering a suggestion. Can we come up with a word that I can use or a phrase that I use that lets you know that you're doing that? In other words, just really talk to them and see if they get buy-in and work on it together. If that's not the case, if you have maybe a little more strained relationship, you may need to just be very firm and saying, mom, I love you, but listen, when you do that, it just really hurts. And when that happens, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to withdraw, or I'm going to leave, or I'm going to give you this phrase and let you know that I'm withdrawing because that's how I'm feeling right now. Because if you don't communicate, what'll happen is this is where this thing the Bible talks about, bitterness, little seeds of bitterness that start to take root, this is where they begin. It's the little things that get into the soil that grow, that create a problem in families. So that's what I would work on if I were you. Okay, Corey is in Kansas, and talk about intentional living, leaving, you know, one of the things we like, by the way, before I go to Corey, we love to have you share your success stories. You can always comment, just like Corey has done, and you can share yours when you go to 888-888-1717. Here's Corey. Go ahead, Corey.
Hi, Dr. Randy. My name's Corey. I live in the wonderful state of Kansas, and I'm a single mother, and one thing I do to live intentionally for myself and my daughter is I take care of myself. And how I do that is, for the last 13 years, I've gone to recovery meetings for alcohol and drug addiction. And it just helps me kind of fill that bucket with something besides guilt and shame for my past. I fill my bucket with recovery. And also, I go to church. And that helps me fill the bucket in my heart that at one time was so empty. It helps me fill it with God's love and like how precious he thinks I am, how he sings over me, and all of these wonderful things that I may have heard, but I never intentionally paid attention to them. So today, that's what I intentionally fill my bucket with, and I love that bucket thing.
Well, I hope that as you go into this new year, Corey, you'll find improved relationships, and you'll find you're continuing to grow and in your own life. Life is so short that we always got to be on a path of growth, don't we?
Yes, Dr. Randy, my name is Beverly, and I have a very difficult person in my life, and I can't run away from this person because this person is my son. He turned 16 in January, and he's mean, he's disrespectful, he's rude, he shows no compassion, and he doesn't talk to me the way that he should, and I've tried everything, and I am now to the point where a part of me wants to give up on him, but because of the love of the Lord and the love that I have for him, I can't give up on him. Maybe you can give me some pointers or some advice, anything. At this point, I am open to just about anything. Thank you so much for your radio station. It is a very big blessing to my family, to me and my husband. Thank you, and have a blessed day. God bless you. Bye-bye.
I'm calling today because I heard your message today is about honoring your parents.
And I've been really struggling with this as I found out that my mom was cheating on my dad for 2 years. And there's just some things that she said to me over the past few years that have really pulled me down. And so it's been hard for me to honor her when she's done these things that I know aren't right. So I just don't know how to move forward with her when she doesn't seem to feel bad for what she's done to our family. And so I guess I'm just looking for some guidance as to what I should do.
It's a tough one. Taylor, it's a lot easier, isn't it, when someone acknowledges they're wrong, takes responsibility, and says, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? Because when they do that, they basically put the ball back in our court to say we are or we aren't. And if we have a disposition that says, hey, we want to forgive, you know, it's easier to do so. But when a person doesn't acknowledge it or recognize it or take any responsibility for an action, past or present, almost as though it never happened or it's just your problem and not hers or theirs, it makes it particularly difficult. We get back to what the scripture teaches, though. The Bible is clear that in life we're going to, you know, we're going to have people who will mistreat us. There's going to be things that are wrong. There's going to be times we're going to have to forgive. And so forgiveness is different to me than honoring. I think they're kind of parallel, but they're different. I can forgive you, but I can still hold you accountable for whatever the action is. I can either put those boundaries in place. And so don't mistake the fact as being a Christian that because we forgive, that means we have to forget and not hold someone accountable. I mean, if you've been wrong, let's just use a really practical matter. If someone has broken into your house and stole things, you may need to forgive them, but that doesn't mean there's not going to be a consequence for their behavior with law enforcement or new locks on your door, right? The forgiveness means that forgiveness is something you're almost not only giving to them, but you're giving to yourself. You're getting this thing off your back to say, I'm just no longer going to stay stuck. It's like the guy who just cut you off on the road and you are angry 5 minutes later and they've gone merrily along their way. And when that happens, we're staying stuck and we ought not do that. Okay, let me see here. We've got Louise in Florida, I think, wants to share a story with us. Go right ahead, Louise.
I had my mother-in-law move in with me many years ago, and I lived with her for 13 years with my husband, and he wasn't able to set boundaries at all with her. And I wanted her in the home. In fact, I was the one that initiated it because I thought it was the right Christian thing to do. However, she undermined me with my young son. She undermined my marriage. We'd have discussions in front of her, and she would answer for either one of us at times. And it got to the point where I couldn't take the stress, and it was ruining the marriage. And I kept telling my husband, it's either her or me. It's either her or me. And he kept talking me down and saying things would change, only it never did. The marriage did end in divorce. So now, when I ever hear of any young couple considering, or any couple considering having the mother-in-law move in, I tell them to not do it. And I know that's just a broad, sweeping generalization, but it's too complicated to even realize what's going to be involved. So I just recommend they don't do it.
Hey, listen, Louise, and I heard you say that it's a generalization, because it is, because I know that there are people who have mother-in-law living with them and do great. But if the mother-in-law is not being accepted by the daughter-in-law, if that relationship isn't good, or son-in-law, there's where the problem is. And it comes back to what I said earlier, and I think to summarize this whole thing on boundaries, because that's where this program has gone today. If you and your spouse in a marriage are having issues with a mother-in-law, or, you know, it could be any in-law relationship, the ABCs of this deal is this. Number one, you two have to be in agreement. If there's going to be light between you, you're going to have a problem. This is going to require some maturity and prayer, coming to an agreement, maybe getting some counseling. And then how do you intentionally put some healthy boundaries in place with these people that you love or person that you love? And then make sure that Christ is the centerpiece of all of your attitude in the middle of this. That's really the ABC agreement, boundaries, and Christ-centeredness. Well, you know, I think if those three things are a part of your decision with a difficult relationship with a person that you love, but it's a difficult person, that's a good way to get started. There's a second thing that Joseph did that I think is really an intentional living principle. I think it's interesting because most of us would wrestle at this point. He honored his family, even though they didn't honor him. He'd gotten kicked squarely in the teeth, right, by his brothers. He had every reason to follow the principles of boundaries. And I understand boundaries, and we need boundaries, and we have to have those psychologically and relationally. I understand that's important in life. But he could have said, hey, I'm putting boundaries in place, and you go starve where you are. After what you've done to me, you deserve that. And yet he opened his heart and his life and even said that I will care for you and your children. That's honoring, isn't it?
Boy, it sure is. You know, that's an excerpt from the lesson that we've been featuring this month on when life doesn't make sense. And it's on our member site at theintentionallife.com. What does that mean? Members are those who support the ministry. We mention it from time to time, but as we're getting here to the end of the year and Christmas is just in the rearview mirror now and just a few days left to wrap up 2025, I just want to send out just a very strong, loving request to pray for us. Thank you for your support. Thank you for standing with us in 2025 and invite you to help us close out this year strong. For those of you who are members, here's an idea. If you've been giving monthly, thank you. And could I ask you to pray about maybe a 13th month gift, an extra year-end love gift would help us close out the year strong. Or maybe you've never been involved before, and this would be an opportunity to share a year-end love gift to help us do that. We'd appreciate it. How do you do that? Well, you can most easily go online to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com and click donate. That would be the easiest way, especially over this holiday season and weekend and so on, to be a part of the ministry. Go to theintentionallife.com and click on donate. I thank you in advance for your support. We need your help. This is always the big giving month, right? December. And what happens in the next couple of days is going to be really critical for intentional living. So again, theintentionallife.com and click on donate. And thank you for your support. We've got to run. Thanks for being a part of us and the ministry here. And we'll see you next time from Intentional Living.